Hello. Welcome to Worship at Home for Sunday the 6th of December. And today we're going to be taking a little bit of a break from our series on John's Gospel because, as I'm sure you know, lockdown number 2 has finished, which means on Sunday we'll be able to gather together again for socially distanced worship. So right now we're recording this message on Thursday, and instead of having to record a message in the week and then repeat it on Sunday, we're going to do a separate message today, and then from next week, Worship at Home will be picking up on the previous week's Sunday service, which means those of you who are at home get an extra special bonus sermon this week. Isn't that exciting? A bonus sermon. So today, instead of looking at John's Gospel, we're going to be looking once again at the book of Colossians and Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. Now, before we turn to God's Word, let's pray together. Father God, we're so grateful that we know that wherever we go, you are with us. And we thank you that right now we know that you are with us in our homes because your Spirit dwells in our hearts. We thank you for that union that we have with you. We thank you for the love and forgiveness that come from you through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now as we take time out from the busyness of the day to spend time focusing upon you, to spend time worshipping, we do just pray that we will be able to feel your presence in a real and tangible way. Help us to know that you are with us. And as we listen to your word, as we listen to some songs after the sermon, we do just pray that you would help us to truly worship and to truly hear your voice as we study the scriptures now. Amen. Well, if you do have a Bible, please open it up at Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to be reading from verse 9. That's Colossians 1, starting at verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Well, please keep your Bibles open now. Everything that is made has got a purpose. If you open up a toolkit, you see your hammers and your chisels and all those different things. In the kitchen, you open up a drawer and there's knives and forks. If you go to a first aid box, there's different bandages and plasters. As you go out into the world around us and you look at machines and other things, you see that there are many different designs. And all these different things have been designed for a particular job. And when they're used for that job, then they work really well. But what happens if you try and use something for what it's not designed for? I'm sure at some point all of us have been guilty of this, especially in the world of DIY. And we've discovered that we haven't quite got the right tool for the job. So we try and improvise. And we make something up and sometimes it works. Often it goes drastically wrong. And then it's off down to B&Q to spend a fortune on the tool that we need for a single job. And then it goes into the toolkit and it's never used again. But at least the job was done and it was done properly. And you see, this is because things are designed for a purpose. And items are designed for a purpose and people do different jobs and those jobs have got a purpose as well. So we know what, you know, someone who's a police officer or who works for the fire brigade or someone who's a teacher, what their different jobs are and what their purpose is. First, as Christians, have you ever asked, what is your purpose as a Christian? I suppose a lot of people would answer straight away and say that their purpose as a Christian is just avoiding hell and going to heaven when you die, and of receiving that gift of eternal life rather than eternal punishment. And that's true, but there's a lot more to being a Christian than that. In order to get to the purpose of being a Christian, we have to start asking ourselves different questions. And one of the questions which really helps us to get to the bottom of this is asking the question, why is sin a problem? And the answer to that is that our sin separates us from God. And when we realize this, then we're starting to move towards finding what our purpose as Christians are. Jesus died on the cross so that the guilt of our sin could be removed, so that we could, through him, know God. And that's what we've been looking at in our studies in John's Gospel. In John 17, verse 3, we were reminded that Jesus said, Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Which means that our purpose as Christians is to enjoy a rich relationship with God, which starts at the moment that we're born again and extends onward for the rest of eternity. And it's about far more than just having our sins forgiven. Without this forgiveness, that relationship could never start. We see this understanding of the purpose of the Christian life in many parts of Scripture. But one place where it really does stand out is this wonderful prayer that the Apostle Paul has written to the believers in Colossae. Now, in the book of Colossians, Paul is writing from prison to a group of people that he's never met. And they're a group of people who are facing a problem with false teachers. Now, we all know that one of the best ways to recognize a fake is to be really familiar with the genuine article. So, at the start of this prayer, as he opens it up, he prays that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will and the knowledge of God. For us today, this is a wonderfully rich passage to be studying because it answers our question about what the purpose of being a Christian is. In this prayer, we see the Apostle Paul is asking that these believers will grow in Christian character. In other words, that they will fulfill their purpose as Christians. Which means we can look at this prayer and see how we should be living as believers. And also, because this prayer provides a template, a model for our own prayers, it means that it's a prayer that we can follow for other believers. So often when we find ourselves praying for other Christians, we pray about the problems that they are facing. And it is right that we carry each other's burdens. But how do we pray for the Christian who doesn't seem to have any problems? Do we just leave them out of our prayer meetings? No, not at all. What we have here is a prayer in the book of Colossians that we can pray for every believer, regardless of their circumstances, because it's a prayer that is about them fulfilling their purpose as a Christian. It's a prayer that starts off with the knowledge of God's will and ends with a reminder of the gospel message. But as we start this, we're faced straight away with another question. What is God's will? Well, we can understand what God's will is if we think about relationships and the relationship that we share with God. When we're in a relationship with someone, whether it's with family or friends or colleagues, it's always a good idea to know what makes them happy and what frustrates them. So knowing what your colleagues like from that drink vending machine is always a good way to be helpful. Within families, children quickly learn what pleases their parents, and parents know what their children enjoy doing. And we can see the benefits of this. So what is it that God wants us to do? Often when we find ourselves facing a crossroad, a major life decision, then we may pray for God's will to be done. And this is good and right. But what is being talked about here is different and actually much easier to work out. Doing God's will is how he wants us to live generally each and every day. And the ability to discern God's will starts the moment that we are saved. The theologian and preacher Paul Washer writes, By virtue of his regenerated heart and the indwelling spirit, the believer will possess a certain, definite knowledge of who God is and what his law requires. When we are born again, we become a new creation and we have a renewed mind, which according to Romans 12 verse 2 allows us to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. It means knowing how to live as a Christian, and the desire to live this way will be in every believer from conversion. They will want to put into practice the things that they learn about God and how they want to, and how God wants them to live. And this understanding can only be found through the careful reading, preaching, and personal application of God's word. This is more than just acquiring a knowledge of the contents of the Bible. It is understanding what God's word says and living it out in your life. Now, when we read the Bible and we come across something that we agree with, it's quite easy to put it into practice. But then sometimes we read God's word and we come across something which is difficult and hard for us to understand, or something that affects us in a painful way because we know that we've been doing things wrong. Those are the moments when we show whether or not we accept the authority of God's word or we reject it. If we accept the authority of God's word, we will make the painful choice. We will turn away from that sinful thing that we enjoy doing, and we will go God's word, God's way. When we submit to God's word and the prompting of the Spirit, seeking to leave behind our own sinful ways, then we will grow in godliness and Christ-likeness. And this is growing in the knowledge of God's will, which means we will be living a life worthy of our Saviour, which is pleasing to him. And, this is an important thing for us to be doing, because the way that we live our lives reflects upon our Lord's honour. Many years ago in this land, there were all sorts of uniformed organisations. Nowadays, there aren't quite so many. But we all understand what it means when we say that someone is a disgrace to their uniform. Your bad behaviour has brought shame on the wider organisation. As Christians, our behaviour will bring glory and honour, or shame and disrepute to our Saviour. Now, I'm sure that all of us want to bring honour to his name by living a life that is worthy of the calling that he has placed upon our lives. So we need to be living the way that God wants us to do, doing the things that he has asked us to do. If we look in another part of the scripture, if we look in Ephesians 2 verse 10, we see that God has got a job for every single believer. We are being faithful to our calling when we do what the Lord asks us to do. This is what being fruitful really is. Is being faithful to our calling while seeking to put God's will to work in our lives, which is at the end of the day, it's all about how we are conformed to the image of Christ. As we become more like Jesus, as we move away from sinful tendencies and grow in the fruit of the Spirit, then we are moving in the right direction, being pleasing to the one who loves us so much, he shed his blood to save us from our sins, to save us so that we can grow in the knowledge of God. Now, linked to the knowledge of God's will is the knowledge of God, actually having a real relationship with him. This knowledge of God is an incredible privilege, which we grow to appreciate the more we know God. There's a real feedback loop going on here. As we are obedient to God's will, so we grow in the knowledge of God, which makes us want to do more things which are pleasing to him, and so on. And as we go on, we get stronger and stronger, developing a greater ability to keep going. In verse 11, we see that we are strengthened with power that comes from God's glorious mind. When Paul talks this way, he is usually talking about resurrection power. The same power that God used to raise Christ now flows within those who trust in him. We need to put this into practice, which does take work. Many years ago, for a few years, I enjoyed going on mountain walks, and I was part of a mountaineering group. And I joined up with that club, and they used to offer three different sorts of walk on a Saturday. There was an easy walk, a medium walk, and a hard walk. Now, the sensible person always started off with the easy walk to get them used to going out into the mountains, and they moved on to the medium and the hard walks. But there were always some people who came along for the first time and thought that they could go on a hard walk straight away. And unfortunately, they were the people who would sometimes get into trouble. Because with mountain walking, you need two things. You need stamina and confidence. And you grow in stamina and confidence by starting on the easy walks and working your way up to the hard walks. Now, the same is true for the Christian life. In the Christian life, the Lord is very good to us, and we often start out with quite easy things to do. And then as we grow in confidence and our trust in him and our ability to keep going, then the Lord will move us up onto other things. So that's what we need to be seeking to do in our knowledge of God. When we're first saved, we will rejoice in the newfound forgiveness and freedom from sin that we have. But we don't really know God that well at first. But as time goes on, we see answered prayer. We understand the scriptures more. And we allow God's word and God's will to shape our understanding of this world around us, to shape our worldview. So we grow in faith. And as this happens, it means that we can be a better witness. We're able to trust God more during the dark times of sadness and sickness or persecution. It's so tragic when someone comes along to church and they put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And then they say, oh, I'm quite happy with a simple faith. And they don't really seem to grow or develop at all. And then a time of hardship falls upon them. Maybe poor health or something like that. And that's the first time that they've opened their Bible themselves in years. The preparation for that moment of difficulty is found during the times when life is easy, so that when the hardship and difficulties of life arise, we've got the strength and the stamina and the confidence in the Lord to keep on going. Now, the Lord is good to his people and he does help them. But the person who has taken the time to grow in their knowledge of God and in the knowledge of God's will find those difficult times far, far easier. And they will have the endurance to keep going and the patience to wait and trust in God's sovereignty. And as we grow, wait and grow in the knowledge of God and of his will, then we find that we have even more reasons to worship him, to give him joyful thanks. That's something that Paul picks up here in verse 12. Another reason that we are saved is in order to worship God. And as we recount the wonderful blessings that we have received, then surely we must be filled with joy. We read that we have been qualified to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. This qualification comes to us not through our own merits or efforts, but entirely through God's grace. We are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ because of our faith in him. We are clothed in his righteousness, so we are justified, acquitted of all our wrongdoing and sin. It is only because of the work of Christ that we are able to enter into the kingdom of light. We have been rescued from the dominion of darkness. We were once dead in our sins, slaves, held in chains. But now we have been rescued and redeemed, brought back by the Lord Jesus Christ and forgiven. As we grow in this knowledge of God, we appreciate these wonderful truths more and more. So our hearts are filled with joy and we want to declare his praise. The healthy Christian wants to worship the Lord. He wants to sing his praises and to worship him through the way that they live out their lives. It's why this time of lockdown and the restrictions upon our gatherings is so painful for Christians. Because within us, there's something that God just wants to shout out his praise and to sing to him. You know, we can thank the Lord that at this time many of us have discovered new songs online which allow us to worship the Lord in a fresh way. But being able to gather together and not sing is difficult and it is painful. And it's going to be hard, especially as we approach the carol season and Christmas services. There's something within us which just wants to declare the Lord's praises. Now, these are the things that Paul is picking up on in this prayer in verses 9 to 14. And they're wonderful truths. And as a Christian, I'd hope that you'd want to read this and you'd say to yourself, I'd like a bit of that myself. These are wonderfully rich blessings with eternal significance, which go so much deeper than so many of our typical prayers. What would it be like if we as individuals went through these verses and prayed them for ourselves, that we would be growing in the knowledge of God's will, that we would be bearing fruit in every situation, that we would be filled with joyful thanks, that we would understand what the Lord has done for us? How would that affect our personal walk with the Lord if we prayed that for ourselves? How would it affect our church if we were praying this for one another? You know, it's great that we can uphold each other in their time of difficulty and pray for their relatives. But wouldn't it be wonderful if as a church we were also be praying for one another, for that growth in Christian maturity, in knowing the Lord and being able to rejoice in him? That's a prayer that we can pray for each and every Christian. And what would it mean for the church in the UK if believers were praying this for one another? Because what we so desperately need in these difficult times that we live in today is mature Christians who are willing to stand up for their faith. So that's what we need to be doing. We need to be praying this prayer for one another so that us as individuals can fulfill our own purpose as Christians, which is to know God better, which is to rejoice in all the good things that he's done and to serve him in a way which is fruitful, doing the things that he asks us to do and being a witness for him. And it'd be great if the church itself was doing that as well, so that the church was fulfilling its purpose. Because we are living in a dark time, a time when so many people are lost and helpless and hopeless, and they are looking for help. They are looking for help. They've got so many problems because of the COVID-19 pandemic, and some of those problems may go away a bit when they roll out the vaccines and things like that. But some of the other problems will go on for years. The financial trouble, the lack of confidence in being able to go out into crowds of people. The things that people put their trust in, the idols in their lives, have been shown to be empty and meaningless. This is the time that Christians in this country, true Bible-believing Christians, need to find their purpose. So we need to be praying this prayer for ourselves and for one another. Amen. Let's pray together now. Father God, we do thank you for your word. And in your word, we see, well, we learn about you. We see that you reveal yourself to us. We hear about the gospel. And then we learn about how you want us to live. And as we look at this wonderful prayer that Paul has prayed, we do just want to pray it ourselves. We do just want to pray that you would continuously fill us with the knowledge of your will through all wisdom. We do just pray for the understanding that the Spirit gives. And Lord, we long to live a life that is worthy of you, of the calling you've placed upon our lives, to please you in every way and to bear good fruit. Good fruit as we grow in our knowledge of you, and fruit through the witness to you that we share through the gospel. Lord, we long to see other people being saved. We long to grow in the knowledge of God, to have a richer and deeper relationship with you. So please help us to really feel the need to pick up your word and read it and to prayerfully consider what it means and to apply its truth to our lives. And we pray that you will lead us through the prompting of your Spirit into what is good and true. And we ask, Lord, that you will strengthen us and fill us with endurance and patience, because the times are difficult. But help us, Lord, to be people who are patiently waiting for you and longing to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And Lord, we do just pray that in every situation we can give thanks to you, to praise your name. For you are the one who has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your Son. Lord, we do just thank you for the redemption that we have. And we pray, Lord, that you write these truths upon our hearts so that in every way we can declare this truth to the people all around us. In Jesus' name and for his glory, we ask these things. Amen. Well, now, if you're following the video at home, we're going to have a few songs which have been put together, which will just help us to reflect upon these wonderful truths. And I do pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you and protect you over the coming week. Amen.